Kiss Podcast Number 4, May 1st, 2005.
Well, Mustard, back for another losing day at the drags?
Oh, no, sir. Not today. Today, my decrepit, broken-down old father-in-law is gonna blast your heap.
To long success is you have to do things because you love what you're doing.
Kiss is a jealous mistress. It demands all your time.
And this is the Kiss Podcast.
Hey, Kiss fans from around the globe, this is the Kiss Podcast. We're back with show number 4, and we have a very special show this time. Because this is the first show where I speak to a current member of KISS for the first time live. And of course a former KISS member for that matter. Of course I'm talking about the interview I did with the Eric Singer Project. I personally spoke with Eric Singer, Bruce Kulick, Chuck Garrick and John Corabi. And it was very hectic and I was really nervous. But more on that later. Let's just get the formalities out of the way so I can play you the report I have on ESP's performance here in the Netherlands. Now, the song you just heard was performed by the all-girl band, the Donnas, and you might know them from the motion picture Detroit Rock City, where they played another Kiss cover on the soundtrack called Strutter. And the cover you just heard was from Ace's solo record, and of course it was the winner in last week's Kiss Test poll, Speeding Back to My Baby. And I wanted to play the original A song, but then I found this version of the Donnas. So I threw this one into the show, and I think it really rocks, so I hope you like a little change. Now, onto the ESP stuff. Let me take you back to the day of the ESP show. And before that, I sent an email to Eric and Bruce through their website, introducing myself and asking for an interview opportunity. And sometime later, I received an email back from their tour manager, who happens to be a Dutch guy, so that was easy for me. And he was saying that he received my request from Bruce, and yeah, he wanted to know what my plans were. So I explained it to him, and he told me to meet him at the club on the day of the gig at 7 o'clock that night. And so I did. But first, let me take you back how the day got started.
Rockin' in your world, the Kiss Podcast. www.kisspodcast.com.
Right, hey everybody, I'm driving in my car. I'm in Studio Suzuki on my way to the ESP show in Helmond in the Netherlands, and I'm glad to say that I'm finally on my way. I've been driving for 3 hours now. Not that I live that far away from Helmond, but I had to pick up some recording gear, a preamplifier, which I'm going to need tonight to do the interview. But I had to pick it up near Amsterdam, near Schiphol, Dutch National Airport. And yeah, of course, Helmond is totally in the opposite direction. So on my way over there, I had no traffic problems. But yeah, when I picked up the device and went back, I yeah, ran into huge traffic, and yeah, slowed me down for, considerably. Just got off the phone with the Oak. He told me he was already at the club, and I told him that I was running late because of the traffic, and of course me being so stupid that I forgot my ticket. So I had to take a detour. I had to drive back home and pick up the ticket, and luckily I'm on my way now. I probably would have gotten into the club without a ticket, because of course I have the interview scheduled. But yeah, I didn't want to take any risks, so yeah, I drove back home, picked up the ticket, and yeah, and now I'm talking to you. So Joop told me that the band is also stuck in traffic. They yeah, now it's 50 minutes past 5, and they are stuck at Nijmegen, which you probably have never heard of, but yeah, they're stuck in traffic as well, so that's a little bit lucky for me, I guess. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm just glad I'm on my way. So you probably noticed that I have some that I'm recording with some new gear. I bought an iRiver. I talked about it a couple of shows ago, and yeah, this device is just such a good
is such a good device for recording on the road, because it's very small, it's very light, and yeah, the recording is all digital, and you can record up to 44 kilohertz, so it's CD quality, and it records directly to MP3, but you can select the bitrate at which it encodes. So I'm recording at a rather high bitrate to get a good good recording quality. So I hope this comes across better than the last recorded drive I did. And the good thing about the iRiver is that you can hear back what you're recording immediately. You just stick in some headphones, and you can listen to what you are recording. So you can listen to the amplitude and the volume, and you can not. While you're recording, you cannot adjust the volume, but if you just stop recording and then adjust the volume, then it's fine. So, it's an iRiver Flash player recorder. It's an IFP 799, which most podcasters have heard about, because Adam Curry promoted it on the show, and almost everybody is using it. Right now, it's a 1 gigabyte flash player, and with the settings I put in, I can record now up to 17 hours in 44 kilohertz. So that should be quite some editing I have to do, because I'm planning to record quite a lot today. Not that I can fill these 17 hours probably, because the evening doesn't last that long, but it doesn't matter. I can record everything I want. So when I get there, I try to do some interviews with the fans that are waiting outside. I'm not sure when the doors are going to be open, and when the band is going to do some sound checking, because like I said, they're in traffic as well. And they're going to be probably very late. And I hope the schedule does not cut the interview short, or that the schedule even does not permit to have any interviews with the band as well, because that would suck, you know. But the great thing also about this iRiver is that it has a line-in socket. So basically, if you get the chance, you can plug it into a mixing desk or sound desk or soundboard, and you can record off of it immediately. So I'm going to try to get this iRiver hooked up to the soundboard to record the show tonight, but I've never done this before, so I have absolutely no idea if this is possible or if it's allowed. I guess it's not allowed, but I'm going to ask anyway, maybe offer some euros. But if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to record the show with these special stereo microphones, sort of like lavalier or lapel microphones that I'm using now. One for the left and one for the right. And I'll attach these to my collar. And I'll just let the recording run when I am viewing the show, so I can play back some tracks on the show. Because an interview is of course very exciting, and I love to play it, but of course I have to accompany it with some music. I have lots of music to choose from, but a recording of the performance from that night would be fantastic, of course. So I'm going to try all sorts of stuff, and we'll see how it goes. It's I know beforehand that it's going to be a lot of improvisation. Because the whole schedule was messed up already because of the traffic. And I think they are traveling from Denmark to the Netherlands, which is quite a long drive. So I have no idea how long they. It's probably about 6 or 7 or 8 hours worth of drive. So I have no idea how long they've been driving, or if they rested in between, or if they flew from Copenhagen to Amsterdam and then took a car. I'll ask him about it later. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Actually, very excited. Damn, another traffic. Oh my god, this is going to be such a late. This is going to be a very late arrival on my part. I have to sit in the car for more than an hour before I get there. Judging by my navigation, which predicts that I have an hour to go. I really hope this recording comes over right. I'm listening back at it at the same time, and it sounds okay. What I did is I attached these two the cables of the two lapel mics. I attached them to the sunscreen, and they're hanging now from the sunscreen in front of my mouth. So it's rather idiot. I think I look like an idiot here in the car, but I don't care. It actually sounds quite okay. So I want to thank Doug Sloery from the Sloery Source, because he lent me the amplifier and these mics. I of course brought my own gear, but just in case I have to record tonight's performance by myself and not through the soundboard, I prepared myself to record the show through a pre-amplifier attached to the iRiver with these mics plugged into the amplifier. And like I said, we'll see how it goes. So I'll probably check back to you from Studio Suzuki when I have news, or when I arrive at the venue or something. I don't think I have any exciting news to tell you at the moment. I'll just turn on the recording again when I think of something. So let's just play some Eric Singer, Bruce Kulick songs to get you into the mood. And I'll check back to you when I get to the venue. So here it goes.
Yeah, Bruce, you do your thing. Thank you.
Paul Stanley.
And I'm Gene Simmons.
And you are listening to the KISS Podcast. Rock and roll just the way you like it. All KISS.
So, there I am at the venue looking for the tour manager. But he was nowhere to be seen, so I called Joop from the Dutch KISS fan club and asked him if he knew where he was. And yeah, there was already some music being played in the club, and we could hear it outside. And Joop informed me that the tour manager was already inside with him, and Joop was kind enough to ask if I could... attend the sound check that was going on. But yeah, unfortunately, I was not allowed in at the time. I had to wait until after the sound check and the dinner before I was told if and when I could do the interview. So yeah, I had to wait outside the club just like the other friends, which was of course no problem. Lucky for me, I got to meet some friends of mine who I met by doing this show, actually, which is really nice. I met with Tamara, Wim, and I met... well, remember I was talking about that jean suit I wanted to borrow a couple of shows back? Well, the guy who made that suit contacted me after hearing the show, which was really cool, of course. And I got to meet him as well. His name is Dick, and if you want to... see what the suit looks like. I have included a picture in the show notes, so you can check it out. And it's actually one of the best jean costumes ever created by a fan. It looks really fantastic. So check that out. And it turns out I'm not the only one doing an interview. I think, what was it? There was a magazine from Belgium there who also wanted to do an interview. And they had some problems getting into the club because they didn't have a ticket. They wanted to get in for free because they because they had an interview appointment. So I am glad I did make that detour for my ticket. Otherwise, I would be stuck outside the club until now. So inside the club, I started to look for the tour manager, which was not that difficult, he told me. Because he's over 2 meters long, and yeah, I quickly found him, and I introduced myself, and yeah, we talked a little how the schedule was already messed up for the day, so it was going to be difficult to plan when I could do my thing, but of course he was going to try for me. Now, you can imagine how that got me really nervous, you know. So right after the opening band started to play, which to this day I have no idea who they were because I was too preoccupied with the interview, he told me I could do a 5-minute interview with Eric only and maybe with the band the next morning. So that got me really freaked out, you know. So I had to hurry and follow him to the dressing room. And well, yeah, there I was, told to wait a few seconds outside the door so he could introduce me. Now those few seconds were like a half hour to me. But then he directed me into the dressing room, and Bruce immediately came up to me and noticed my KISS Podcast t-shirt, and he said to me, "Hey, Mr. KISS Podcast, you made it." So that was kind of cool. Then the tour manager reminded me to hurry up because I only had 5 minutes. So I rushed out all my recording gear, you know, with shaking hands, and tried to get my questions out of the bag as quickly as possible. But luckily for me, the atmosphere was really loose and relaxed, and the 5 minutes turned into 10, 15, 20, and yeah, finally I got a half hour on tape, so I'm really glad. And yeah, just to get you into it, everybody's walking in and out of the dressing room, you know, Bruce, Eric sitting next to me, then walking away, and that was kind of like the atmosphere that was going on. So here's the unedited version of the interview, and please don't mind Eric here at the beginning. I think he was as exciting as me. Right, testing 1, 2, 3, cool.
Yeah.
Guys. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Fuck you! Fuck you, man!
Go ahead. Yeah, I got all these questions prepared, but I'll just wing it. No problem.
Not much. It's probably still in there, so go ahead.
So how much time did you guys take to prepare for this tour?
Well, go ahead. Well, we rehearsed over at Eric's house for about a week and a half, and I got together with Chuck because I hadn't worked with him before, and I wanted to spend some time in my own house just getting him up to speed with some of the stuff because, I knew some of the bass parts, and he might not have picked them up right away.
Yeah.
But really came together fairly quickly. Obviously, Eric, myself, and John were just in Japan in January doing some of these songs, not all of them, but
yeah.
So it came together fairly quickly.
Okay, cool. I noticed that you were playing a camouflaged guitar with the Grand Funk Railroad. Did you design it yourself? Or?
That's a new one that I just grabbed from them. I thought with the Grand Funk band, it was kind of a fun looking guitar, but actually I got a Black Viper right now with me, same model guitar but black.
Okay, so you're not playing it tonight?
No.
Okay.
It's a Viper, but it's a camouflage finish.
Yeah, it's like army guitar. It's really cool.
I didn't know what you're talking about because I didn't see it. I'm like, Bruce doesn't have a camouflage guitar.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of it.
I got to tell you, every time we rehearse at my house whenever we did like Union or when we did this, and Bruce comes over with a different guitar every time. So I never remember, I'm like, well, what was that one?
Okay, cool.
He's always like, hey, check this one out, because he knows I love guitars. And he's always like, hey, check this one out. And he's always, that's the great thing, because this gives him an opportunity to try different gear and see what he likes or doesn't like, what works.
Okay, cool.
Let's get Chuck in here.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
How are you doing, man?
Hey, can you introduce yourself to the Kiss fans, because you might not be so well known as the other guys?
Hey, Kiss fans, how you doing? It's Chuck Garrick, bass god from Alice.
Yeah, rock and roll.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, cool. Have you heard about podcasting?
I know I haven't, actually.
Well, I was listening to a podcast, actually, a bass player from American Heartbreak did with Ryan Roxy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you probably know that one.
I know Ryan.
Yeah. I was talking about it. He's going to do a podcast of his own, probably, with the Alice Cooper Tour.
Excellent.
So, it's like an internet radio show, you know.
I actually did read something about that coming up, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. And how fast did you learn the Kiss songs?
I grew up on Kiss.
It didn't
take me that long. Just had to remember the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to sing and wiggle your tongue at the same time, you know?
So you're going to wiggle it some tonight, or?
I hope so.
Cool.
All right. Man. Good talking to you.
Thank you very much. All right. That was short.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's going good.
Cool. John is helaas going to douchen, dus die moeten we...
No problem. So, Bruce, I heard you did an audition for Mick Jagger's solo tour. How did that work out, sir?
I auditioned for what? I didn't get it.
Mick Jagger's solo tour.
Oh, that was a very long time ago.
All right.
87, maybe, or 6.
Yeah.
I was very nervous, and I was very flattered. What happened was there was a session I did for a producer that worked on Mick Jagger's first solo record.
Yeah.
So he was, Jagger really was first time stepping out from the Stones solo, I guess. So I was checking out different guitarists, and I got a chance to audition. It was very exciting because I'm a big Rolling Stones fan, and I got to talk a little bit with Mick about guitars and all. But they wound up using, I think, Joe Satriani, which is pretty flattering.
Of course.
But it's a highlight that I won't forget, of course. And then Gene and Paul were cool with it because they thought, well, if the touring is not when Kiss is working, no big deal, and it'll be a good thing for Bruce.
Yeah,
one of the few people I think that they would see as being okay. Not many people, but they understand the importance of the Rolling Stones. So it was fun.
All right, cool. So do you have any comments about Gene's driving style?
You mean dragon style?
Driving style.
Oh, driving style. Yeah,
yeah.
Gene did hit my car once years ago.
He did?
Yeah. Backed up in a parking lot. But,
I always hear the guys talking about this terrible driving style.
He's not a good driver. He will admit that,
All right.
That's all right. That's why he buys, I think he drives a big SUV, so people get out of his way,
Okay, cool. So where do you like to go on holidays?
You know, I'm looking forward to trying to get to Hawaii again. It's been a few years.
All right.
But I really do like it. And I live on the West Coast, of course, in L.A., so it's not that hard to get over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But no firm plans yet, but definitely this year I got to take a vacation. Another place I like is Palm Springs. It's real nice out there. So I'll get a chance to take a little trip, hopefully sometime when my schedule is a little calmer this year.
Cool. Can you tell me a little bit about the new Union DVD?
Yeah, the DVD is, it was from 2001, but we did some warm-up shows in L.A. before going to Argentina, where they were really, you know, excited to have us.
Yeah, and I read that you have some all kinds of backstage stuff on it. And
Yes, so the package is very full with, it's a concert from the two warm-up shows, put together, edited together as one concert, and then there's a whole bonus musician MI concert from the NAMM show back in 2000. And then there's behind the stage is about 15 minutes of us touring in Sweden and various places, Argentina, all that kind of stuff.
There's some of Bruce in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the female fans would like to see that.
There's a photo gallery. There's a bonus a song that me and John wrote when we first put the band together that didn't get recorded get recorded for the big, you know, for the actual album.
Yeah, okay,
it was a demo, and people love that song, "Walking in Your Sleep." So it's a great package, and it's been selling really well. I'm really, really happy. I've just been selling it myself right now, just like one of my solo CDs, and I've already gotten rid of over 1,000, you know, within a short period of time. So it's great.
Yeah, I just
put it this way, it sold more than Gene's DVD.
Hey, hey, hey.
It did.
Well, he probably won't like that. But
I'm just kidding, Gene. I love you.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, Bruce's DVD's outsold yours.
You're listening to the show, I hope so. Don't comment too.
Gene knows I love him.
Yeah, of course. So, what did you guys have for a job actually before you became rock stars?
Actually, I've worked a lot of different jobs. I actually started playing drums in my father's band. My father was a society, what they call a society band leader, which means basically playing for rich people's parties and their kids' weddings and things. And I started at 14 years old working with him.
Yeah.
And then I had many different jobs. I used to work at a musical instrument factory called King Musical Instruments in Ohio, where they make saxophones, trombones, trumpets, all this. I was like a welder.
And drums also? Or?
No drums, just brass instruments.
Okay.
And I was a shipping and receiving clerk. I worked at a Ford car as a parts counterman for a Ford car dealership at one time.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of different jobs before I actually was able to do this full-time, play drums for a living. So I feel very blessed that I get to do. I mean, I used to go see bands like, you know, Kiss, Alice Cooper, Black Sabbath, all these bands that I played with. I saw all those bands when I was younger.
Yeah, it's amazing that you're playing with them now.
Well, it's very unbelievable for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm very, not only sometimes very surprised, because sometimes it seems like almost kind of like a dream at times, but I feel also, I'm very appreciative and feel very blessed. Because most people don't get to do what they like to do for a living, and I'm very fortunate. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's too bad that John isn't here, because I heard he...
he's coming in a minute.
Yeah, okay. I heard he sold some inflatable boats when he was young, so...
he did what?
He sold some inflatable boats.
I don't know. I don't really know what John did.
No problem. I'll ask him later if he comes in, if there's time.
I mean, we've all done some different things. I mean, Bruce was just telling a great story earlier today. We were talking about cars, you know, some of the old first cars we ever had when we were younger.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Bruce was telling us a story how, you know, he was... You know, we were talking about some of the bad, crummy jobs, making no money and struggling. And Bruce said, you know, one minute I was, you know, working in a guitar shop teaching private lessons to kids for, you know, $8 an hour. He goes, and 6 months later, I'm in Kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it happens sometimes.
Yeah, cool.
But it's cool to hear these stories, because everybody has a story of their life. And everybody, you know, the one thing that people we have to realize, especially some very, very famous people, we all come from the same kind of beginning. We all start off as kids growing up with dreams, and we all pick up sticks or a guitar and want to learn how to play. Where we end up may be very different, but we all basically come from that same kind of place.
Yeah.
With a dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that better?
No, it's eye drops,
It's for your contact lenses, or you don't
I don't wear contacts.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I wear glasses. I'm just too lazy to wear them. Like Bruce says, we're in denial. I said, I wear glasses, I just don't want to wear them, I'm in denial. But I'm not as blind as John.
Is John?
Oh, John can't see.
He's nearsighted or farsighted or what?
Which one it is, he just can't see. He can't read. He has to have a magnifying glass, really. It's so funny.
He's like an old man already.
Well,
hey, once you pass 40, these muscles get tired.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a fact. You know?
It's a fact. Everybody, as soon as you hit 40, your eyes go very quickly for a few years. Sometimes it levels off, but most people, there is a big dip.
Yeah, right. I heard you guys played with Ryan Roxy in Stockholm. How was that?
He came up and jammed. You know, I knew him from even before Eric ever worked with him. I produced some demos for his band Electric Angels years ago, back in like '88 or something.
I always knew
he was talented, and he loved the whole rock and roll thing and Kiss.
He lives in Stockholm now, I guess.
Ryan lives in Stockholm with his wife and kids, and he's still playing. He's playing with Alice, and I'm going to play with Alice this summer with Ryan and with Chuck.
It's kind of nice tying in there. Yeah.
But also, Bruce has a connection to him, and it's just kind of funny how, as big as the world is at times, many times you realize that it's sometimes it's very small.
Yeah, of course. I mean, meeting you guys here, I never thought that some guys from the U.S. I will meet here at a small city in Helmond. So.
I was just saying earlier, we were doing another interview, and I just said, you know, it's just funny how things come full circle. Bruce and I, you know, we played together in Kiss, and, you know, to me, it's like Bruce and I, you know, we're not always going to see things the same way, but you have certain bonds, and it's almost like you become brothers in a way. And brothers. I mean, just like my own real blood brothers, I don't agree with them on a lot of things, but I still love them because they're my brothers, and that's how I feel about a lot of people I've worked in bands. It's how I feel about Bruce, and, you know, it's kind of, I always knew that it was going to be inevitable that Bruce and I, you know, I thought always that maybe somehow Bruce and I will end up back in Kiss together, but I always knew we'd end up working or doing something together. But once we, you know, a lot of people, when Bruce first started Union, they kept saying to me, like, why don't you be in a band with Bruce? Or how come Bruce, you know, didn't ask you to be in a band? Or Bruce, why don't you have Eric? And it was like, I think Bruce and I really, you know, that was kind of a weird time for us, the whole Kiss thing. And mm-hmm. we really needed to kind of like go and do our own things and kind of establish ourselves on our own in our own careers. Mm-hmm. And I think it was good for us and healthy. And now we're like, hey, but we realize we enjoy playing together. And the thing we have in common, not just the Kiss thing, but I think our work ethic and our philosophy about how to go out and do this kind of stuff is very similar. And we have a mutual understanding and respect for each other. And that's why it's so easy for me to go and work with Bruce. Not only to play with him musically, because there's that connection, but the whole work ethic and mindset by doing this. I can't go out and tour anymore with people that are not professional. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, it's great
But I want it to be not just I don't mean funny, fun, ha-ha, laughing.
No, I understand what you mean.
I want it to be easy because it's so hard to tour. It's very difficult. It takes a lot of hours and a lot of work, all this travel.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that you spent 5 hours in the car this morning.
That's what happened today. I mean, and that's life. Guess what? You know, we're here and we're going to play and we're going to give it our 100%.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
But what makes it important is to know that you're with guys that are really professional and they can rise to the occasion when things are a little tough.
Yeah, cool.
And that's what it is with, you know, with John and Bruce and Chuck.
Well, it's great that you have a bunch of guys together that can play and like all kinds of music styles and you can mix a cool set together.
It's easy because everybody's not only a pro but they're all good. All good.
Chuck Garrett rocks.
And Chuck rocks my world, motherfucker.
Now I understand that you had your tattoos removed with laser surgery. Is that recent or?
No, they're not removed. They're actually kind of in between. I never did finish it, and I'm not. I'm not sure what, you know. Look, one minute you feel one way about something, and then you change. I'm thinking about going and having new tattoos put on. I just didn't like the way they looked. And
so you haven't decided that what you're going to do?
Yeah, I'm kind of in between still.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you look at Chuck and John, it's 10:30. All right. What else did I want to ask? Where do you want to spend your holiday?
My holiday.
Yeah.
What holiday?
What's your favorite place to go on holiday? Sorry.
My favorite place to go on holiday. You know, I don't really go on vacation much because I travel so much that I'm one of those kind of persons when I'm out traveling, you know, I deal with it and I kind of enjoy it. And I kind of get used to it after I'm out there. But once I come home, then it's hard for me to adjust. But once I'm settled at home and finally comfortable, then I enjoy being home. So I'm gone so much that when I'm home, I don't really want to go on anywhere. But I do love any kind of tropical type climate. You know, Hawaii, Caribbean. I always wanted.
Loves Hawaii.
Yeah, I love Hawaii too. I love the Caribbean. I love Montserrat. I spent 6 weeks there. Many years ago, and I really loved the place. Unfortunately, it got destroyed by volcanoes. Yeah.
Last question.
Any tour tropical, but I like Florida. I mean, I think Miami's a great place, you know, because it is very tropical type climate.
Yeah, nice beaches and.
It's pretty cool place. Florida's. I always liked Florida.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's your favorite Kiss song to play on stage?
Favorite Kiss song to play? Well, I can't ever just say one, but if I was given a choice, I have to. I always say that I like "Do You Love Me" because to me that's a very it's a very rock and roll, straight ahead Kiss type, classic sounding Kiss type style song. And I like the very early Kiss, the first three records.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the classics.
I like the actually, you know, any of the early stuff. But I like the fact that the lyrics kind of tell a story about kind of what rock and roll is all about. You know, all this stuff.
Yeah, of course.
You know, do you like? I mean, it's like in other words, I know you like all these things and everything associated around me, but do you really like me? Or do you really love me? And so it's cool, you know. But I enjoyed playing it because it just to me it's like. The atypical or archetypical Kiss,
but it has kick-ass drum sound to it, you know.
Well, it's just real straight ahead and basic, but it does for me to enjoy it from a drumming point of view. It doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to have the right kind of groove and have a good melody. Because really enjoy more playing songs. I don't give a shit about drum solos and all that. I appreciate guys that are great at that, but that's not really what I'm all about. I really enjoy just playing good songs and stuff.
Yeah, as long as it...
That's John.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Hi, how are you? Because this new website thing, it's called Kiss Podcast, and they also, it's like an online radio type format show, but they also put live stuff on there.
Yeah, well, I try to do all kinds of stuff, you know, covers, tribute bands, interviews, live tracks.
Kiss related, like, because you're involved, related to the whole thing. I mean, Gene used to manage him at one time.
Really?
Way before Union, everything. Oh, yeah.
James, what do you mean?
This is like in the 80s, right?
Yeah, like, well, he wanted to, and we were talking with him for a while. When he opened that label,
Simmons Records,
yeah.
And he signed House of Lords. And then
I remember that.
He was looking at our band, and I had a band called Angora, you know, and he came down. He really liked the band. There was a couple of songs. He thought we had some really great songs, and you know, but he wanted to sign the band. He wasn't sure if he wanted to sign the band or manage the band, whatever, but Gene's always been a big supporter of mine, so.
Yeah, cool.
He's a very good guy. I like him.
So I read that you used to work as a telemarketer selling inflatable boats before you became a rock star.
Yeah, that's true. When I first moved to L.A., I got this job. I got a job working at a telemarketing place, and they used to send letters out to people and tell them that you know, you're hereby authorized to claim your 4-person power motorboat. It was a scam.
Yeah.
You know, and basically you'd get the letter and they would say to you, okay, you got the boat, we're giving you the boat, but you just have to fill out this information form, like a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, send the form back to us, and we're gonna let you keep the boat. And considering we're letting you keep the boat, you have to just pay the shipping fees of $199.
What was this, Gene?
No, it's when I worked at this telemarketing place.
Oh.
And it was funny because I saw the boat, and the boat was maybe about as long as that couch. It was like something you put your kids in a pool, a raft. It was funny.
Cool. So how was it to...
Did I show up on that podcast?
Too bad it's just audio. Fuck. For the female fans. So how was it to do the Kiss Expos in the U.S. a couple of months ago?
Oh, John loves
it. It was cool.
I think John would rather do Kiss Expos than fucking play in a band.
Well, you play some songs there too, but...
Slide over there, brother.
Yeah, sure. But, no, I don't mind them. I've actually become good friends with a lot of the people that showed up in the States. So it's, you know, they've been really cool. You know, I got to be honest with you. If it wasn't for the Kiss, a lot of the Kiss fans, Union wouldn't have had any.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because we were in America, you know, it's, we were kind of walking a fine line between modern bands and then, you know, the bands from the 80s. We didn't quite fit in with anybody. So it took a while for us to start building the following.
He's right. The whole Kiss thing really does. It's really cool because no matter what band I played with, I always get Kiss fans come out to it. You know, if I'm mm-hmm. if I've been on tour like doing this, or I played with, you know, like Brian May or Alice, whoever, I get fans that will come out. I've had fans email me last year. They'd say, "Are you on tour with Alice here?" I'm like, "No," and then they didn't go to the show. And I'm not saying that's a lot of people, but there are a few that are always very supportive and have always been supportive of me and anything I'm involved with. And believe me, I don't take it lightly. It's like, it's very cool to know that, you know, that you mean at least in a very small way.
There's a core audience there that's gonna follow you with whatever you do. And a lot of them now, because I was involved with Bruce, with Union and ESP, with Eric and Bruce, a lot of them, you know, I've become friends with
mm-hmm.
and follow me in other things that I do. You know, they come and see me. I play guitar with Rat. You know, they'll come to those shows. And I know, like, they email me all the time. Like, they will support anything that I do. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't have an issue with it at all.
Hey, I got to say, I have some people that I've become really, you know, personal friends with. That I met because they were originally our Kiss fans Kiss fans, and I met them that way. But then I ended up, you know, establishing like really beyond just them being a fan and me going, "Oh, that's cool, they're a fan." No, that they're actually my friends, you know, and I have those kind of relationships with them. And I think that's really good. And I met some, I have to say, you know, the Kiss fans are an odd lot. A lot of them are very, some of them can be pretty, you know, they are a different kind of breed, but at the end of the day, from my experience, they're always the most dedicated, loyal fans, and they're really great people.
Yeah,
they never are violent. They don't start trouble, you know. And you know, I really dig that part about them.
Okay, cool. So, what are you going to do after this tour? I understand Eric is going to do the Alice Cooper tour, and John, what are you going to do?
I'm actually right now. I'm talking.
Keeping his options open, you know. I've been kind of managing him. We're talking about me taking over the management.
No, I'm actually...
Eric Singer, Incorporated.
You know, yeah. Some medical help needs.
Yeah, sure.
This is going to be the last question because the band is getting ready.
Yeah, no problem. Right? They're having fun talking, so...
I
just recorded.
I'm negotiating with Rat, band Rat, to go out and play guitar with them for the summer.
Oh, okay.
So I'll do that, and then I may be back over here in September with... I have another band that I do that's kind of like this, you know, do a lot of covers and stuff, but with Billy Duffy from The Cult and Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains and myself, and it's called Carbury Vampires.
Yeah. You got a set list?
I got this one.
We may be over in September, back over in Europe, so we'll see what happens. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll wrap it up. Guys, I want to thank you very much for taking the time in this busy day to do an interview with me. And I'm sure the Kiss fans will appreciate it if I air this on the show, so thanks very much.
I was going to say, as always, you know, thanks for all the support you give to everything we do and anything we do, and it's always cool. It's always great to see, you know, the family and familiar faces everywhere we go. That's the one thing that kind of is a common thread. It bonds everybody together. The Kiss family of sorts is worldwide, and everywhere you go, there's kind of a secure feeling knowing that you run into a familiar face.
Yeah,
in almost every city in the world, and that's
a way that.
I'm sure it's appreciated. I'm sure
it is.
I'm sure.
Get some paper, man.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks.
Paper.
Is it possible to take a picture with me?
Yeah,
I have my camera here, so.
Yeah, John will take it.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Right. My stuff off.
I have these, but I'll get some other ones. And I just got to get them from... Because we have the printed ones.
Well.
But Nicholas thinks I have them, and I don't.
I think it would be one of the Verge cases or something like that. I don't know what to tell you, you know.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask him. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to write you up one, though, okay? Do they have a copy machine here?
No, but I could just, you know, copy a bunch myself, you know.
All right.
And you'll take care of the waters and the towel, okay? Because Drumboo was asking about the water.
Is there's a curtain up there? I can go to
go tweak out your shit, yeah.
Is there any people up there?
Well, there's crew people.
Oh, I mean, in the audience.
There's about 300 so far, I think. Hey, is it clogged in the time?
Yeah, I'm going to clog out. Thanks, man.
Okay.
If you've got any idea of switching channels, don't. Don't go away. We'll be right back
with more of the KISS Podcast. www.kisspodcast.com.
It is time for the KISS test.
Hello? Hello? Everybody still with me? Yeah, okay, good. This is KISS test number 4. And first of all, here are the answers to last week's KISS test. The songs we played were, of course, Dark Light from the album Music from the Elder, Speeding Back to My Baby from the album Ace Frehley, and Hard Times from the Dynasty album. And let's get cracking on this week's KISS test. These songs come from a certain period in KISS's career. And here's what you should do. I've lined up 3 KISS tracks for you, and the only thing you have to guess is what songs they are and from what record they come from. So listen up now, because here is number 1.
Number 2. Number 3.
Hope this was easy enough for you listeners out there. Now, these songs definitely do not come with any makeup applied to them, so there you go. And the answers will, of course, be revealed in the next KISS podcast, along with a new version of the KISS test. And of course, I'd like to give a mention to last week's winners. It looks like we have an all-US top 3 this week. So, Eugene from Virginia, USA, he guessed the correct answers. KISS 74 from Davenport, Iowa, also submitted the right answers, and Dave from Delanco, New Jersey, also emailed me with the correct answers. Now, I know there are a lot more KISS fans all over the world, and I'm sure you know the answers to these songs, so if you know the answers, send me an email to dion@kisspodcast.com, or you can use the contact form on the website. And if you're feeling really crazy, grab a microphone, hook it up to your computer, and record the answers into an audio file. You know, be a little creative, and I'll play it here on the show. These audio files you can, of course, submit to the special MP3 email address, which is kisspodcast@gmail.com. And if you know any good song for the KISS test, you can also email it to me at dion@kisspodcast.com. And I'll play it for you in the next KISS test. All the information to contact me is of course, can be found on the website. So until next week, rock on.
We now return to our regular broadcast.
This is the KISS Podcast. All KISS, all the time.
When nobody's looking, I still put the makeup back on in my room.
Mine. So, I hope you liked the interview. Now, I must tell you that I've really learned a lot from this experience. When I listened back to the interview, I noticed a lot of stuff that went right past me. So, next time, I hope to be a little bit more focused and not so nervous. But I'm sure that will work out fine. Let's see, over an hour already, so I'm going to close the show now, since we're an hour into it, and I don't want to take too long. Here's a great Carnival of Souls cover by a band from Finland called Dear Victims, and I received the song from Jari, and he plays in that band, and he listens to the show. So thanks very much, dude, for sending this song. It's really cool. It's from the non-makeup tribute album Unpainted.
So until next week, where we will do the promised MTV Unplugged show, here's the song Master and Slave.
in your world. The Kiss Podcast. www.kisspodcast.com.